Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hjärtligt välkomna ska ni vara till slut kommer någon att skratta. Jag heter Peter Brisa och jag sitter här med Aron Flam.
Hej.
Soran Ismail.
Hej hej.
Och med oss idag har vi en amerikansk komiker. Welcome Neil Campbell.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
What are you doing in Sweden?
Just visiting.
Okay.
Just on vacation. Yeah.
Why do so many...
That needs to be explained.
Okay. Yeah. I was on vacation in Italy for a week.
Okay.
And then I am going to London, and I basically had 3 days to fill the time. And I was just kind of looking around for what seemed like a place that would be fun that could maybe 3 days might be enough time to see a lot of... You know, like I there were some cities that were maybe too daunting and that, like 3 days didn't seem like enough time, or some cities that were too big and maybe felt like I wouldn't, you know, I'd be sort of stuck with trying to figure out transportation half the time.
And so, maybe you spoke to Lauren Lapkus, who was here.
I did.
Recently.
I did talk to Lauren and another friend of mine, Dave Ferguson, who's in the sketch group, The Birthday Boys.
Okay.
And he had just been here. And so, they both recommended it and had recommendations.
Well, you got when Lauren was here, it was terrible weather. You got some sun, actually.
You're lucky.
Yeah. So
this is not usual.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah.
For us here,
where do you live in the States?
Los Angeles.
All right. Because when we were there in like January, the weather was like this kind of, and everybody would just complain like, "Oh, I'm sorry, we have this shitty weather."
Yeah.
Or like, this is amazing.
It's perfect. Neil, you're a comedy writer and a improviser, performer.
Yes.
And you do stand-up as well?
Yeah, a little bit. I used to, at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles, I was in a sketch group that had a monthly show, and then Paul Rustin and I also hosted a weekly show where sometimes I would do solo bits, like monologues or just bits, I guess. And then Scott Aukerman last year asked me to do like the opening act on the Comedy Bang Bang tour. Yeah. And so I didn't really have so much of like a solo stand up act, but then I just started working out, putting a bunch of like my solo pieces together.
Okay.
So that's sort of what my stand up is as a,
it's going to be fun. Cause you're going to perform at our show tonight.
Yeah.
And it's going to be fun to see. Cause I listened to the tour, but we weren't able to hear your performance.
Since it was close to the same every night.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how did you come in contact with?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Neil's because he's a regular on the Comedy Bang Bang podcast.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you know where his vacation is.
No. Well, social media.
You saw my Instagram.
Yeah, I saw his Instagram. He was at Vasamuseet.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And so I just...
got an erection.
Yeah. No, because I got a hold of Lauren when she was here.
Yeah.
But she was just heading back to England. And so I tried. And you were gracious enough to come here.
Yeah, I'm excited.
No, but Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, is probably the main reason why I wanted to start this podcast. Because we've been doing this for 7 years now.
Six. Is it seven?
I think it's seven. We started 2010.
All right.
And
It's too long.
it might be.
Too much.
But Comedy Bang Bang, for people who hasn't heard it, it's a talk show, but there's a lot of improvisation. People come in and do characters.
Yeah.
You do a bunch of characters.
Yeah, exactly.
And how much of that is it just improvisation, or do you have like, oh, I'm going to do this character and he does this?
On the podcast, it's all improvised, but sometimes you're coming in as a character. You just kind of like maybe let Scott know ahead of time. You're like, hey, I have a thing I want to talk about, or like, you know, you should ask me about my new book I'm promoting or something,
okay,
you know, so he sort of knows. And other times you just go like, hey, I don't got much.
I got a name.
Well, yeah,
let's see where it goes.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes, great. So you just sort of fill him in a little bit ahead of, yeah, like right before if you have a whole thing planned or not.
And you were a writer on the Comedy Bang Bang, the TV show.
Yes. Yeah, I was the head writer on the TV show. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is also a great show that people should watch.
What is that mean for us that haven't worked as writers, or mm-hmm, how is it over there, a head writer, how many writers did you?
It varied over the years. The first season, counting Scott, I guess there were 5 writers total, and then by the end we would have a staff of, I think, 7 counting,
okay,
Scott, or maybe even 8 counting Scott.
And is it like you see in bits where or TV shows where you sit around a big round table,
yeah,
and throws out ideas?
Pretty much, it is kind of like that.
And it's a really silly show, so it has to be a lot of fun. Just
yeah, it was a ton of fun
because you do a lot of gimmick shows. Like this whole show is upside down.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we would. There was a great production design staff and costumes, and everybody was really creative. And so we were just trying to come up with like challenges almost,
yeah,
each season. And, you know, we did one where there were no cuts, or there was like no cut in each act.
Okay.
So it was just one camera shot, 4 total, I guess, by the end of the episode. And so, yeah, we'd come up with a few each season that would be sort of big technical challenges.
Did a musical
episode. Musical, exactly. And Scott has like a background doing musicals,
oh, yeah,
and stuff, so he was really great on that. And so then in terms of being head writer, Scott always is ultimately the guy who
he's the host
and creator and ultimately the guy who says yay or nay to anything. But he's, you know, he's on camera, he's working with the editors, he's kind of going around a lot. So when he's not in the writer's room, it's just sort of, I'm kind of...
You're calling the shots.
Yeah, like figuring out what we should be working on, what we need, what we are...
But you write the same amount, or is,
yeah,
that people write, and are you some sort of an editor?
I would sometimes like rewrite things before maybe passing it on to Scott, I was also just writing, and it sort of depended on really just anything. Like sometimes I just look at something and go great and send it along to Scott. Sometimes I'd rewrite it. And
but everything goes through the head writer first before it goes through to a script.
If Scott was there in the room, then we would just all like kind of pitch to him.
Right, yeah.
But maybe even that might be, oh, we had a couple of days where he wasn't there, and so we've over those 2 days honed in on what we're going to pitch to him when we happen to have him for some
Did
time.
You have a situation where people were fired because they were
no,
not good enough at their job?
No, no one was ever fired from the show. None of the writers were. There could have been crew, but
right,
I don't know.
in retrospect, were there people that you thought weren't funny? Like they were there, they weren't contributing, but they weren't ruining it, so they weren't fired. But all
the writers all the writers were great. You know, it was always a pretty small staff, and we definitely went, you know, through a lot of submissions and met with people. And by the time people were on the show, we felt, I think, pretty confident in them, and no one ever let us down or anything like that.
Were there experienced writers, or how did you come across, or writing auditions?
Yeah, there was a packet people would submit. So the first couple of years, the first season, Scott just hired all of us, and it was all people he knew. And of the like 4 of us writing there, three of us were on almost every season after that. So, and the other guy, like, we would have gladly had on, but between season one and two, when we didn't know if we were coming back, he got another job and just couldn't do it anymore.
Have you always wanted to be a writer, or when did you discover comedy? How did that come into the mix?
When I was in college, there was a show at the University of Iowa, and every week at this show, and I'd already kind of gotten into it because I had made sort of like comedy movies with my friends and stuff in high school, just on like VHS. But then in college, there's this show, and it was basically like an open mic for comedy, but not.
Where did you go to?
University of Iowa.
Okay, so.
And so.
Flat.
Yes, yeah. Flat and cold. And so it was in a theater, though. It was more of like an open mic for like sketches and characters and stuff like that, rather than stand up. So I just started doing that show, and that's where I met a couple of guys who I still do stuff with in Los Angeles, Paul Rust and Michael Cassidy. And we, the three of us got along, and other friends, you know, we had a good little group there, and we would do these shows. And then once I eventually moved to New York, then to Los Angeles. And once I was there, it was, kind of like we just started doing sketch comedy again, because that was a way to just get our work up and out there. And then, and then the UCB theater opened, and that was like a perfect fit for us. And we just got involved. Paul and I got involved right away and started hosting a show. And yes, exactly. And we drank the Kool-Aid.
You still perform at UCB, right?
Yeah, I still do. There's a weekly improv show that my group, we were like one of the first teams at the theater, and we still perform every Thursday night at UCB LA. Yeah,
I'm getting married on June 24th, and then 3 days later, we're going on our honeymoon to LA.
Oh, great!
And my fiance has no idea that we're going to spend most of our time at UCB, and Comedy Store, and all kinds of places.
Yeah, yeah, there's some great venues out there. Well, let me know when you're in town.
Absolutely.
Did you have somebody you looked up to in comedy when you grew up, or?
Bill
Cosby.
I was super into The Simpsons and Conan O'Brien when I was in like high school. Mm. Those were probably my like comedy linchpins. Mm. And then in college, I really got into Mr. Show.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob Odenkirk became like a hero of mine. And those were kind of maybe main ones. Yeah.
So you grew up watching and enjoying Simpsons, mm-hmm. and you've written an episode for Simpsons.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
That came about because they hire a few freelance writers who aren't on staff to write episodes every season. And I had gone in to meet with the showrunner and then for like a year and a half earlier and just sort of talk and get to know him and stuff. And I don't even think I knew at the time if they were hiring staff members or if it was just a meeting. I think he'd read a script of mine and then, just heard, like woke up one morning to an email and was saying to ask if I wanted to write a freelance episode. And I said, yeah, of course. So
why not?
Yeah. So
that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. So they sent me a bunch of notes and I worked on it and sent it to them. And then they took it over there.
What kind
and
of notes do they send?
We need to have Bart in this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. It wasn't like a full outline. It was more like,
they came up with the plot.
They came up with the plot and there was like a guest star and stuff all lined up and I had some notes and then I wrote
they gave you the script. Frame and you wrote the you made the painting.
Yeah, sort of. But then then they got it and painted over it and stuff too. Like it was definitely
photoshopped.
Yeah, because like with anything, it's like you're the draft you turn in for almost any TV show is ultimately going to get rewritten a bunch.
Of course.
But
did you write yourself though?
Yeah, I wrote it by myself.
Because I mean, that's also something that when they sit and write, like every show, they have a bunch of writers.
I think they have a bunch to sort of come up with a story and stuff together. Then one will go off and write it. Then they go back into the room and rewrite it. So when you do a freelance, you're not back in that rewrite room.
No. Right.
So, like at that point it was just out of my hands, and I had no idea what was going to happen with it and stuff.
What was the episode about?
It's Elon Musk as the guest voice.
Oh,
and cool. It's basically like he comes to town and is sort of competitive with Mr. Burns in a way, and Homer is sort of working with him. And
okay,
yeah. But that was really fun. But yeah, that was like totally this out of the blue thing.
Yeah.
And
Elon Musk is my arch nemesis.
Oh, no.
Yes, because I also want to colonize Mars. So there's a race and he's a bit ahead of me.
A bit?
What?
A bit
ahead.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
I haven't really
well, yeah,
any.
He's been wasting his time on the transportation. If you can just stow away, you just get there and take it over. Yeah.
Well, he's busy with all the cars here on
cars
Earth
and
now.
Batteries.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
So as soon as I get my shit together, I'm going to get there.
But until then, you're going to just do comedy.
Yeah.
For how long have your parents waited for you to get your shit together?
Still waiting.
And you also you've written for award shows.
Yeah.
Like the Oscars and...
The Emmys. Yeah. I met Andy Samberg writing on the MTV Movie Awards mm-hmm. in 2009.
Well, there you go.
And then that was my first award show experience, and then sort of did a couple of things here and there through the years. Not always even like big televised things, just whatever, you know, like presentational type things. And then Andy was hosting the Emmys and did those, and then out of that did the Oscars with Chris Rock right after that.
How different is it writing for the Emmys and the Oscars? I can
well
imagine.
On the Emmys...
Or even the MTV Movie Awards.
Right. The MTV Movie Awards was like... That was just sort of a fun...
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3 week experience. That was one of my first writing jobs. That was just like with the same managers, and they were looking for writers, and there wasn't a ton of money, so they couldn't fly like a bunch of SNL writers out or something. I actually can't quite remember if that was even exactly the case, but it was something like that. But that was really fun. And then the Emmys was like a lot of work because it was basically the Comedy Bang Bang staff writing it. And so we were just there a lot. I was heavily involved in that, and we were doing pre-tape film shoots and stuff like that. And backstage, you know, the night of the show and everything. And that was a lot of work, but really fun. And I thought Andy did like a great job with that. So then I think because of that, then Chris Rock reached out to Andy and I got this job on the Oscars. But mm-hmm. that was more of a different thing where like there was a bigger staff.
Yeah.
And I, you know, there was already sort of like the main guys and the inner circle kind of guys. And I was there and I would pitch jokes and we would go watch the Chris Rock like work out his monologue at stand-up clubs and kind of offer feedback, and otherwise just send in lists of like jokes, things
yeah.
about the movies or about the presenters or whatever. And so that was definitely for me more like I was just around a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
It felt like yeah.
Was the MTV Movie Awards, was that the one with the Leighton Meester Lil Wayne joke? I've heard Scott.
Oh
talk
yes,
about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember, but their last names, Leighton Meester and Lil
yeah.
Wayne, is what a Spanish maid calls Batman.
Yeah, something
Meester
like that.
Wayne.
Yeah, yeah. There were like a lot of like last name jokes. I mean, we always actually have to. I think even on the Emmys, we were writing presenter intros, and
yeah.
we were like, these can't all just be jokes about people's last names. Like, it's like the most harmless thing. No one gets mad
about it
or anything. It's like a kid's joke book thing. But
do you have a favorite joke from any of your the award shows that you've written for?
From the award shows,
anything off the top of your head?
I don't know if there was off the top of my head. I mean.
Is there frustration that people can't deliver your jokes properly?
No. Well, we don't write the things the presenters say. We only write for the host. So luckily I've worked with like
profession.
Comedy icons, basically. Yeah.
Who was the host at the MTV Movie Awards?
That was Andy Samberg.
Oh, that was... Oh, yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
And at the Emmys?
That was Andy
Samberg
and then Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The... Yeah, MTV, that was like the year that Twilight was, like the first Twilight was like, you know, won Best Picture.
Yeah.
and stuff. And I just remember that was like really learning a lesson about, well, I don't even know how much of a lesson is. It's kind of only applied to that venue in that year. But like Andy couldn't mention Twilight without just everyone screaming.
Yeah.
And if it cut to like Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, everyone screamed. Right. And so you, if you're trying to like set up a joke or something, like it's just now you're waiting for like screams to die down. So that was,
so it's set up and then 5 minutes of screaming, uh-huh, and then punchline. Like, yeah. Everybody's forgotten about the setup.
Yes, exactly.
It's like audience shows.
Yeah. It's
pretty much.
Yeah. But people are screaming for different reasons.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No, I think I have the same appeal as,
the Twilight guys.
Yeah. Patson.
I'm on Team Jacob, though.
Patty.
You're Team Jacob?
I'm Team Jacob.
Okay. Well, it's good to know.
The werewolf.
Yep.
All right.
So, when did you...
This is embarrassing. Sorry.
Don't worry about it. When did you arrive in Sweden? Yesterday?
I got here, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Yeah, the evening.
And you've been to the Vasa Museum?
Yeah, I've done a few museums. I went to... the Fotografiska day got here, and then I went to Vasa and the Modern Art Museum yesterday, and went down and saw.
Do you always do museum tours?
Yeah, that's probably a thing. I when I visit a place, is kind of one of the first things I look up is what.
What's your take on these couple of days? What's your perception? How would you describe Sweden to your friends back in?
I mean, it's been great. I've been,
well, you have to say that now.
But no, I kind of didn't know what to expect. I also was like, this is so dumb, but I'm like a big hockey fan. And right. So the team I root for is like three, I think, Swedish players.
Which team?
The Capitals.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so they've got
Bäckström and
Johansson and Burakovsky. Right. And so, I was like, well, I like a lot of guys from Sweden. I'll come to Sweden.
How did you like the Vasa Museum?
It was really cool. I knew that it was, a big ship, and I was kind of like, yeah, how long will this take? 20 minutes? But I didn't. It was like pretty fascinating stuff going, and you kind of learn a lot about history and stuff as well.
But don't you think it's fascinating that one of our biggest museums is also one of our national favorites?
I do. I was thinking about that. I was like, I wonder when they built this if there was any... like hesitancy about like, guys, should we really be doing like I had assumed like it like was sunk during a battle or something. Yeah, yeah. And I didn't know if it was like just
miscalculated
on its maiden voyage, just like went under immediately.
Who did the math?
Walking all around, the museum's laid out really beautifully, and I thought it was really fascinating, and the like the skeletons and stuff too. That's pretty.
Have you been? Have you traveled a lot around the world?
Or I've done all right. Yeah. I am fortunate to kind of have a line of work where it's like you're working or you're on hiatus, right. And so I was thinking of even traveling more. I'd been working on Brooklyn Nine-Nine up until a couple months ago, and then...
Very underrated, at least here in Sweden. I don't know how it's viewed in the States, but I...
Well, it wins Emmys.
It does win
Golden
Emmys.
Globes. Golden
it won
Globes.
The Golden Globes, yes. Right, and I think our stunt coordinator has won some
Emmys. Did you write the episode with the Scandinavian cops coming over?
No, that was before...
That was Swedophobic.
That was the season before I started there. I just started this season.
Congratulations.
Thanks, so, I love those guys, and obviously working with Andy is great, and that whole staff is really talented, and I've met a lot of cool people there. Yeah.
Did you get to work with him on the Franco roast?
No, I didn't work on the roast with him. No.
Have you worked on any? Do you?
No. Did I work on a roast? I don't think I've worked on any.
I write a lot of mean shit about people that haven't been used on TV.
I once submitted like jokes for a roast, but it was like genuinely one of those roasts. It was like a Friars Club thing that wasn't televised.
Oh, okay.
I haven't done any of the Comedy Central ones. So
you travel a lot.
I travel a lot. So I and then I wound up working a little bit on Love. I don't.
Yeah,
the Netflix
show. I'm watching the second season now.
Oh, great.
With my girlfriend.
So I was working a little on the third season.
Do you have a favorite destination that you would like? This was my favorite.
I really like Paris a lot. All right. But I also like seeing plays, so that's what's fun for me about going to New York or London. Is right. always right. just like. Yeah. Like, I know what I can do at night. Right. Like, because sometimes you go to a city and you're like, am I going to go drink every night? Or am I going to, like, try to find cool bars and cool... And then what am I going to do? Like, talk to... I don't want to be a creep, like, standing there, like, by myself and trying to talk to strangers. Right. So when there's, like, a play to see, I'm like, that is perfect. It gives me a thing to do in the evening. And yeah. I'm actually going to London tomorrow.
Talk to strangers here. You can't.
Yeah.
Is there's
a difference.
Well, he's American. So
yeah,
I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We're friendly but shy.
Yeah. That's me as well. So, yeah. So I want to do more travel, but I'm doing just a couple weeks here. But over the Christmas holidays, I traveled. But yeah, that's the nice thing about this job is like you're working, and then you get this hiatus where you're like, I mean, actually, we're not picked up yet. So hopefully, Brooklyn and I gets picked up, and we go back. Whatever, like at least assuming that does happen, it's like you get this hiatus where you get time to like kind of do stuff. So that's nice. And then you work 10
months
straight.
Or you come home broke.
Yes, or you come home broke and I don't have a job, and then we'll find out what happens.
Yeah.
Cool. But are you traveling alone, by the way?
I am now, yes. I was with my girlfriend in Italy,
right.
But she only had a week off, right. so then she had to go back
to work.
That's
how much you gave her, you said. No,
yes.
That's enough, now you leave. You leave now.
And I'm going to Sweden.
Yeah.
But I always find that very, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if it's more enjoyable or less or what it is, but I guess it's a totally different experience not to share it with somebody that you know.
Yeah.
You know, and when you get back and speak about what happened or whatever.
Yeah. I think partially, you know, when I went to, I grew up outside Washington, D.C., and then I went to college at University of Iowa, which is in the middle of the country, and I didn't know anyone.
Right.
And then I left there and moved to New York City, and I knew a couple people, but was still sort of doing my own thing there. And so I think I've from an early age kind of was all right with like traveling solo and doing all that. So
I tried that once a couple of years ago. I went to Barcelona and also made a vow not to use social media for the whole week I was there. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you're there alone, you're feeling extra alone if you don't have Twitter.
Yeah.
You want to
be looking
anything.
At something. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I failed.
Yeah, that's definitely
like 2 days.
Before like smartphones and stuff. I don't know if I had just been like in a bar by myself, what I would have been doing other than like staring ahead, like an insane person. Yeah,
who's the creep at the end of the bar, staring at everyone?
I think it's overrated. No, not overrated, but a lot of people misuse the word like how they feel about travel. They say that they love to travel, but what they mean is that they love to like lay on a beach.
Yeah. I'm always...
It sounds like you actually like to travel.
Yeah, in fact, I think I get a little antsy if it is just like
laying on a
pure,
beach.
Straight-up relaxation. Right. Yeah, like...
I'm the same, but I mean, because I was... And also, it takes, like, it's exhausting to travel.
Yeah.
Even though it's fun or it gives you something, but it's also exhausting. And, like, I find it... That's the most offensive thing I know when people say, I love to travel. And they have no idea what it means to travel. They just once a year or once every 2 or 3 years go on a
vacation. Being on the road. That's what I find from, touring. I just like being on my way to something.
Yeah, I like and seeing new places is just like... It makes, even like riding in an Uber, I just like can stare out the window and be like entertained. I'm like, this is fascinating to see a new place.
I fucking hate it. I hate traveling. But it's good, and I do it because it's good. First off, in the job, it's necessary to go on tour. It's difficult to force everybody to come here. But secondly, I just love being at home, like comfortable around things that I know.
Yeah.
Even when you're in Italy, like the comparing things here and where you're gonna go to England, just the internet, just how people live and how the cleanliness, like everything is for me here. The shower and the, what do you call it? The vattentryck, the pressure from the shower, water pressure from the shower. Yeah. is just you're used to something.
Yeah.
And this is how I want it to be, kind of.
There is
more
always...
than slightly autistic.
And I love being in, and it depends. So I can go, for me, like English speaking countries. Other countries, it's I can't wait to get home.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, I like doing, like, traveling a lot, but I do always sort of remember that moment when I get home and I'm in my apartment, like, oh yeah, this is just, yeah. Like, there's nothing.
This is the best.
There's no, like, if I walk out, I'm not like, oh yeah, how do I say, do right. I say the right thing? Do I tip the right way? Do I, you know, it's.
And mainly it's language for me. Like, you want to be able to communicate and not just, you know, through your school French or, but like actually have a conversation with people to know how, like, when, where they live, how it is, how their life is, or maybe make friends, not friends for life, but, you know, go out with people. Or, and it's difficult to do that in Italy if you don't speak
Italian.
Did you grow up in Iowa?
No,
outside of DC.
Oh,
outside DC, but then also, so my dad worked for the government and Department of Defense, and so we lived in Japan for a few years when I was a kid. And then when I was in college, my family moved to Germany. So then I would go visit Germany for the breaks and sort of travel around from there as well.
So you have dad issues and was this close to ending up a stripper.
Exactly, yeah.
Stripper or comedy writer.
Yeah.
It's a thin line.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So you grew up in Japan as well?
For a few years, yeah. From like 8 to 10.
How was that?
That was cool. Amazing. Yeah, that was really fun.
English-speaking school or what?
Yes, so we were on an American Army base and spoke English and stuff. But
is that up north in Japan, the Army base?
The one I was in, there's a few. The one I was in was, I think, about an hour outside Tokyo because you could take the subway into Tokyo.
Okay.
So, and then my brother and I, since we were little, like, blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids, we modeled and did, like, child modeling there. Yeah.
Oh, so you're big in Japan.
Yes, yeah. But that enabled us to also travel to some other places that we... And my parents were really good, even just not, like modeling jobs aside, about taking us around to a bunch of cities and traveling
Took you around
Japan.
Modeling all over the world.
But it was cool.
Have
we
you
got
been
to see
back
it.
As an adult?
No, that's really... I really want to go back, and every time I'm sort of planning a trip, it's always been like, oh, we did, you know, Amsterdam and Paris or something. And Japan's right. Like, you maybe see multiple cities in Japan, but you're just probably going to Japan.
Yeah.
And I think recently I've been doing more like swings through like
multiple
countries.
It's a long flight. You need to have a few.
Yeah,
it's a long wait.
Although the one thing that's nice, it's still super long, but at least at Los Angeles to Japan can get you there in one hop. Whereas going from Los Angeles to Europe is, I don't even know how long it is, but
should be like.
But and I mean, LA like, to Europe is also one flight. Or I mean, sometimes you.
LA can get you to London at least.
Gets you here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know
Norwegian.
That.
Yeah.
Norwegian,
and it's super cheap.
Wow,
it gets incredibly cheap
for like $150.
Jeez.
It's the cheapest one.
Oh yeah,
they have the low fare. Like you have to, if you know when you're going.
Yeah,
usually, like ahead of time. Yeah, and Yeah, but anyways, I know that they fly here at least, and I don't know how long. Because it's what is it to London? Like 10 and a half hours
or something, yeah.
That's also fucking exhausting to fly.
That is the worst part of it. You just kind of got to like put yourself in a mental state of like, when mental I get state. There, it'll be great.
Right. Yeah, but it'll be worth. In America, you can just buy NyQuil.
I'm allergic to NyQuil. I can't do it.
Oh, I see. That's
what happens?
I think I get covered in hives and everything. Oh, or it's like dextromethorphan or whatever. Like, why am I telling people like the way to poison me? If you want to kill me, here's like, just get some Robitussin.
What more things are you allergic to?
Dip them in peanuts. And,
but you you went on the CBB tour.
Yes.
And
what's the CBB tour?
The Comedy Bang Bang tour. Right. They did a huge tour this summer.
About a year ago. It was like last May. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you do a bunch of characters. You do the Timekeeper. You did... what else did you do on the tour?
I think I did Rick Faber, the kid. Yeah, the teenager.
The teenager.
Yeah, who's mad at himself. Yeah.
You haven't done the Bachelor Brothers for a while.
I know. Paul and I need to... We always talk about that. We're like, let's just do them again. And then we just haven't brought them out in a while. But that was, I remember, I think the first thing we ever did on the Comedy Bang Bang podcast, if I'm not mistaken. And we weren't totally like clear on...
Where you were going.
Like what the show format was yet and stuff. I mean, I don't think that we were too far off, but I remember like we played a game at the end, and it was a game that like later I would do in like improv classes and was super easy to do, and we were so confused about how to like do it right, and we like were messing it up live on the air and stuff, and it was just like the simplest game. Yeah, we were playing with like Todd Barry or something.
Oh, okay.
What plans do you have for London? Are you like, do you know what you're doing?
I'm seeing a few plays in London, and that's kind of it. I also just wanted to like chill a bit. Right. That's the thing that I'm really like super like, well, if I'm here and I'm only here 3 days, I want to make sure I hit all the like major museums and do this and that. And I was in London a few years ago as well, so I feel like I've kind of done the big museums and stuff, and so I just kind of more want to relax.
Is your girlfriend the same way, or is she more like she wants to? Because if she isn't, can you let her just chill a day in the room?
Yeah,
like at the hotel, and you leave to watch it.
I think she's she definitely likes to do like some research and figure out places to go and stuff like that. So I think also she's totally fine going to a beach and chilling out too. So it's,
are you good traveling companions?
Yeah, I think so. There's I think a good amount of research. One or the other of us has looked up places to go and things to do.
It's hard to fail in Rome though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the entire city is a museum.
Exactly. It's the world's largest.
Food is good everywhere.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We were just walking by, like a crypt, and we're like, oh, let's go in. And it's like a crypt in Rome where it's like some anonymous monk arranged a bunch of like skulls and skeletons into these like six rooms that like all have like, they're like different, like weird, like designs. Like they're in monk's robes, skeletons and stuff. And that was great, but we just like happened to walk past it.
It's insane. It's also, but you said the food is great everywhere. I think the food's overrated in it.
Yeah, but you're a picky eater. Like kebab, you like pizza, you like pizza with kebab on it. Basically, that's your...
No, but even if we go to pizza, I think that like if somebody went there and made like pizza the way we make it, like not our fancy pizza, our dirty, hungover pizza, New Year's Day pizza, it would be a success, I think. They don't even have... like as a tomato sauce on their pizza, like on all of them. They have on some, but it's not like, so if it doesn't here, if it doesn't, it doesn't say, you know that it's on. It's like it doesn't say bread because you know it's a part of the meat.
Right.
There's just like, it's bread and cheese. Where's the...
Yeah, well, sometimes white pizza can be very tasty and it's good when it's warm outside.
I don't know. I was very upset.
Yeah. I went to...
You guys
this is a Rain Man type personality. I mean, if Tuesday's pancake, he needs syrup on the table first or he throws a fit, basically.
I won't throw a fit. I'll just let him know that they're not doing as well as we are.
Yeah, I did notice in Italy or in Rome that I went to a place and someone's like, this is the best pizza. And I went and I had pizza there. And it was very good. And then I went to another place that just was near where we were staying and seemed popular and went in. And it was also very good, but I was like, I don't have, my palate isn't refined enough to confidently tell anyone, like, that's the best pizza. Right. Like, they all tasted about the same to me.
Yeah, what's the variation of pizza? Like, a pizza could never be the best thing you ever ate.
Actually, there's a pizza place down by Strandvägen here, an Italian place, and they make a carpaccio pizza, and that's... I will say with confidence the best pizza in Sweden.
All right. Okay. It's probably not true. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's, everybody has their own, you know.
And no, I said it with confidence, and I don't understand now why you're suddenly opposing my confidence. You're undermining me. I scraped up the little confidence I had.
Yeah, there were places I would really recommend, like, based on ambiance. I'd be like, I had a great experience at this
place. It was a
great
room.
But I just am not...
Not a big foodie
guy to be able to go, like, go here, order this. This is the best
thing. Do you cook?
No.
No. Do you live with your girlfriend?
No. She actually lives in New York, and I live in Los Angeles.
All right. So you eat out all the time?
When I'm working, I would say it's maybe like 50-50. We're maybe eating dinner at work anyway. Right. And then on the other times, I'm either... getting takeout or eating out, or I will cook, but like, you know, like heating something up, like
mac and cheese,
Trader Joe's kind of
but that's great about the States as well. Like in a big city like LA or New York that you have, it's open all the time. You can get a bunch of different foods at most of the hours. You know?
Yeah.
Cheap as well.
Cheap. And then, and also what's nice is you don't have, eating out doesn't have to be like unhealthy.
No.
Like you can get something on your way home and it can just be a salad or something. Yeah. And it's not like, well, if I'm getting takeout, I'm getting, you know, a whole big sloppy meal. Right?
So, yeah.
So, but if Brooklyn Nine-Nine doesn't get picked up for a new season, what are your plans? So
I don't know. I mean, basically I have to wait to find out about that before I can even, because I have a contract there, you know, so it's like I have to wait to find out about that before I can see if it doesn't, then maybe other shows are getting picked up, and then you just sort of see what's.
Does it always
tend
to work out, or are you ever anxious at what's going to happen?
I'm not really.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I don't know. From our perspective, you couldn't imagine it wouldn't get picked up. I guess.
Yeah,
it seems likely, but
I would hope so. There's. Yeah, I mean, I would think it should. I don't know.
But I mean, has there been times earlier in your career where you're like, this is kind of uncertain. I don't know if I'm going to have
a
job in the fall.
Comedy Bang Bang was the only show I worked on, like, up until Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Other things were like one-off award shows. Right. So Bang Bang, after the first season, we weren't sure if we would get a second, and then we got a second season. I think after that, we always, during the season, found out. Like, so we were just in the middle of working, and we would find out there's going to be another season, or there isn't going to be one by the end. And so, so that was never really, maybe after the first season of that, it was the only time where I was like, well, what am I going to do next? Or should I be looking for a job or not? You know, because if it does come back, I want to go back to it. But it worked out that we got picked up.
What type of shows do you watch yourself?
I think comedy people wind up watching a lot of like dramas. So, you know, I watch Game of Thrones and The Americans and watched all of Westworld and The Young Pope and, you know, a lot of those.
I haven't watched The Young Pope yet.
I really liked it a lot, and I don't think a lot of my friends did. Okay. But to me, what was really like great was it felt sometimes like I love all those shows I just named, but a lot of them can, I feel like, have sort of similar prestige TV, like editing rhythms, and you sort of know when, like, a character death is treated as a big moment. It's going to happen at a certain point in the season, and certain big reveals are going to be held out towards the end. And there was something about Young Pope that just felt like it was not made by that same rhythm, and,
no.
and that it felt more like a film in every shot, and like it had just sort of a different editing plan where just every shot felt more like planned out and stuff too. And yeah, okay. And the performances were weird and good.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, imagery was really cool. So I don't think it's for, like, I watched all of the OA and really liked it,
right.
But if someone was like, would you recommend it, I go like, I think most people I know maybe will hate it, but right. I really liked it.
Right. There's a difference between like, I love this, or
yeah.
I know that everybody will
yeah.
love this.
Yeah. Like, I was watching Young Pope, but I had no illusions about, I know most of my friends aren't going to be, we're not going to like get together and like talk Young Pope theories, but right. I was just really enjoying it. And same with the OA.
You watched The Expanse.
No,
you did it.
How okay. likely is it?
I don't know. It's a sci-fi. In my head, it's like, no, it doesn't make sense. But I started watching. Have you seen it?
No, I've heard
it's on Netflix, and I started watching it, and it was, it's just a lot of information on how the Earth.
You get
that,
sucked in pretty
Is that
quickly.
Kind of like a sci-fi detective?
Yeah.
Thing? Yeah, I but heard that was cool.
It spirals into something more. It's they're trying to develop some sort of future world.
Have you seen The Kinda, Last
It's
people?
A bit Game of Thrones-y, but not budget-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing is budget-wise.
Yeah.
No.
Have you seen, I think it's called The Last People on HBO. Like there's something.
Oh, The Leftovers?
The Leftovers,
yes,
sorry.
Yeah.
The Last People.
Is it good?
Well, The Last Guy.
Yeah.
Have you seen
The Last Man on Earth?
I've just seen a couple of episodes, but I think the premise is very interesting.
Yeah,
as well.
I haven't watched that, but I have a few friends who really really are passionate about it.
There's a some sort of for some reason people just die.
Like disappear, right?
Yeah, yeah. A bunch just disappear.
It's like 2% of the world or something.
Yeah,
yeah. And these are like the leftovers. It's just
I started
very
watching
weird.
One episode, I think, but then I got tired. Felt too
I,
much
I don't. I can't trust that guy, Damon Lindelof, after Lost. Because I was so disappointed by
yeah.
the finale of Lost, so...
I have to excuse myself now. I'm terribly, terribly sorry. I know you're a prominent guest from but I have to go and demonstrate because this is the 1st of May.
So. Oh, yes.
Yes.
We're going to... Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm going to leave you the keys, so...
Yes, so yeah. we're going to fuck this place up.
Yep.
And we'll...
You'll
just,
be...
Just drop them off.
It'll be nothing...
Very nice
to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to.
It'll be okay. You'll be all right.
Yeah, we're not going to do a lot more. Just a couple more minutes.
But I do watch more comedies, too. I like... I still watch every episode of South Park. I love South Park.
Yeah.
Baskets. I really like
that. Yeah, Zach.
Zach Galifianakis.
All right.
Louis C.K.'s show.
Yeah, Detroiters is the newer show. I think it's really funny. Yeah.
Do you have any like goals? Do you want to keep writing for TV, or do you want to like write drama, or do you want to keep doing comedy, or do you
I probably always want to keep it within the comedy realm. Yeah. I think my goal would be to have my own show someday.
Is it two different worlds, writing a comedy TV and writing a comedy movie? Is it like separate,
you know,
or is it kind of the same?
There's overlap.
Yeah.
I mean, I know. I think once you sort of get in the comedy world for TV, that's more likely where more jobs are going to come, because you work with people and then they get their own show, or they like you and then maybe they hire you on something else.
Right.
And so it just sort of continues that way. But sometimes you can work for a...
Jesus Christ, dude. We'll see you soon.
Because I told him like 20 times.
It's okay, man. You'll be okay.
I will not be okay, but...
All right. All right. Take
okay.
care, buddy.
Bye.
Where you can, you know, there's just producers and stuff, and maybe like do both, and it's not impossible to kind of.
Is that a goal that you have, that you think would be?
I really
fun?
Just sort of think, I do think it would be fun. I think for me, I just, like, it's been really fun working on shows created by other people. And so just the idea of like creating my own thing, and it could be. A TV show, or it could be a movie. There's like so many of these streaming things now sort of feel like they're somewhere in between the two anyway, where it's like, oh, you are getting to write this like or create this like it's a movie, but you also get the fun of maybe hiring a staff and getting to work with people you really like and, right, and respect. And that, like, I think about that, and that sounds like great to me. It's like, if I could, there's so many people I may be like, man, if I had my own show and I could hire those people, would be great. But yeah, so it's
like, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like if you're writing comedy for TV, the expectations are like, it has to be so much better and funnier for people to like it, for it to be a success, than if it's a comedy movie that goes on like the big screen. Because it feels like if I watch a comedy and I laugh out loud five times, it's hilarious. That hardly happens. And people go to watch, and it's just easy to watch, and it's fun, but you don't like actually laugh. But if you watch a comedy show, like it's I don't know, I feel like the expectations are different, and that would make it easier to write a good comedy movie than to have a good comedy TV show.
Yeah, I think it's just such a different world too, of like, you can have a successful, or it's easier to have a successful TV show that isn't necessarily built around a star. Now, it's then in movies. It's also easier on TV if you do have a star or stars or whatever, you know. But there's like shows that people just like because they were like great shows and right, not because like a huge star was on it right away. And maybe someone became a star out of it or whatever. In a way that I think it's hard for, like, especially like a studio movie needs like big stars in it. And it feels, I mean, I'm probably talking out my ass, but it's like, it feels like TV, there's maybe just more like, let's rewrite these jokes until the jokes are like great and really funny. And you're just sort of like writing jokes, and you don't want it to just be two people sitting talking the whole time. But it's so you gotta be a little bit active, but you're not necessarily making episodes around like set pieces. Where I feel like comedy movies are sort of like, what are our big comedy set pieces, and you sort of need to know those and write around those.
Right, they have to like adjust to maybe. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's more difficult if you have a theme that goes throughout the whole, like, you could do an episode that's 20 minutes and then and the next episode is something totally different. And in a movie, you have a plot that goes through it.
It's tough. Yeah, and comedy kind of like, sort of people, I mean, this isn't totally true, but like, people kind of don't care about the story that much. And then like, almost every comedy movie, the last like third, is there's like answering everything with a story, and you're like, oh, I didn't really care about the story.
Like, if you watch the Big Lebowski, which is one of my favorite movies, there is really no story. Nothing really happens in the movie.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant. It's funny. It gets me every time.
I think that's why, and that feels so, you know, based on like The Big Sleep or something, where it's just like, this sort of like, oh, every scene needs to just have something happen and a twist happen and like just these sort of memorable characters in every scene. And so that's great. And I feel like that's why there's also a lot of comedy movies that are like road trips or something, because you can just write them episodic and just go like, okay, let's just write, we don't need to have like in Vacation or something, it doesn't need to be a whole movie about like visiting their sort of weird backwoods cousins.
No.
That could just be one scene, and
that's a skit.
Yeah, you max it out, and then you move on to the next thing. Yeah,
and you have the next skit and next skit.
Or like, you know, Borat or something being super, like, that an example of that. So it feels like that works for comedy in a way that
doesn't work.
It just feels like no matter how hard it is to write a good comedy movie, it just seems like it's more difficult to write a good comedy show. And then once you have it, like once you're a couple of seasons in and the characters are set, then maybe it's easier because the audience, they have a relationship with the characters. And, you know, it's like when you have a friend who's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny to you because you know that person. But if you said it to somebody else, it wouldn't be funny.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And a lot of it, too, I think the only downside is like once you have a successful show, it's like you have to write in a way that's true to the characters, but without being repetitive too.
Right.
You know, like I think that happens. That happened on Bang Bang a lot after a couple seasons. That happens in the Brooklyn Room, where you'll sort of pitch something and someone will be like, well, that's actually kind of a lot like this and that you've already done. You're like, oh, right. Yeah, we did that. You know, so you just got to watch out.
Or it's like Family Guy where you do it in Simpsons already.
Yeah.
But you got to have that feeling every time now, because in Comedy Bang Bang, you actually did everything.
Yeah.
It felt like you did every kind of different episode that you could do.
Yeah, it was definitely like, Well, we started season one, and Scott, I think on the first day of season one, was like, hey, you know, we may never get to do this show. You know, we may never get another season of this. So anything you want to do, let's try to get it done this season. Let's just feel like we made a great 10 episodes of TV, you know? And that first season is so packed. Like, there's like three guests in every episode, and there's like just 100 different things happening in every episode. And then we got a second season, and the second season was twice as long. And so it was sort of a mix of that. We were like, okay, we can like take a bit more of a breath. We don't need to like cram the episodes full. No. We could take a little more time with the guests. We can put in like sort of more storyline episodes, because we did that with like one or two in the first season, and those worked really well. And you could also then actually remember what happens in an episode. Yeah. So then season two, we kind of got into more like doing those storylines and all of that. But we still were like, we may never get another season, so let's make sure we do the musical this time. Even though, like, now we have twice as many episodes to worry about, and writing a musical takes forever. Like, we're doing a musical, you know. And so, even the second season, it kind of always is there. There's always like
one of my favorite sketches is the one where Scott, he's going on the road to find the best burger.
Oh yeah,
but also trying to find the man who murdered his wife.
Yeah, that was I believe Joe Wenger wrote that one.
Oh, okay.
I think that was Joe.
Are they equally prioritized, or is it different? Is it first a burger? Or
yeah, first a burger. Okay, and then
and also
have you seen
on a side note?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Have you seen my, what, does he have a picture of
her? No, he has a picture of
her. Yeah,
he
has a picture of her, yeah.
Of her. Oh, have you seen my wife? He's looking for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or I forget.
Yeah, I forget too.
She maybe died.
People have to look it up.
She would like do, which, does he know that she was related to a burger restaurant? I don't even remember it.
Do you know where these are aired in Sweden?
I don't think they've ever aired in Sweden.
Right, but I mean, if you do want to, are they on?
If you want to watch them, I have all the DVDs that has been released in my apartment, so people has to come home to my place.
I mean, it's on Netflix
them.
In America.
Yeah, it's not
it's
here.
Not
sorry.
On, okay.
We should probably. I'm gonna make Netflix in Sweden get the.
That would be a interesting angle on the terrorist attack.
Yeah.
What was the motive?
Yeah.
He demands that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Start watching it. Start showing.
Is that what he was demonstrating about?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. We need to have this on our Netflix as well.
No, because I've been.
Comedy is international. Don't divide us.
I've been telling people that review.
Oh yeah, review
and Comedy by Me are the two. Best shows that no Swedes have seen
because
it hasn't aired anywhere. So I constantly put up clips.
Are there any? Because I know that US TV is always adapting shows from other nations.
Yeah.
Are there any like popular Swedish shows here that you feel like that's only a matter of time?
Survivor
before
is a Swedish concept.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are there any comedies or anything that are just like great, you know, right now? Or
no, we usually we're very I would say TV here is not especially overall we're very influenced and in awe of England to some extent.
Yeah, British.
But
dramas.
I mean, they are as well, and not so much in comedy, but otherwise influenced by the States. So, you know, it was huge when Starbucks opened. You know, if Victoria's Secret opens, we're very in awe of everything that's American.
But I actually saw there's a show in Sweden called Bonusfamiljen, like the Bonus Family, and it got picked up by Netflix. They're gonna distribute it outside of Scandinavia as a Netflix original, even though it isn't. But that's how they're gonna market it.
And that's cool.
So that's
all right. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But otherwise, there's a lot of we just take concepts from other countries.
Yeah.
And
I'm actually writing the Swedish Comedy Bang Bang.
Great. Yeah. Please do.
And there's one episode where he's looking for a burger, and also his sister. So it's not actually.
No, it's not the same. Yeah, I put my own little spin on it. I hope you don't mind.
It's just inspired.
Yeah.
It's not.
That seems great to me.
Neil, I hope you have a great stay in Sweden. I hope you have a wonderful time in London. And, well, we'll see each other
later
tonight.
Yeah, we'll see in a few hours.
Yeah.
And we hope we get to see and keep laughing at a lot of your work in
Thanks.
The future.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on.
If you want to, if somebody wants to follow you on social media, do you have social media?
Yes, I'm, I don't tweet much, but sometimes I do. and I'm Neelerdude on Twitter, and that's also my Instagram handle as well.
Awesome. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for staying longer than Aaron did.
Yeah, exactly. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.